Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman, alongside double Ashes winner Steve Harmison, following every single day's play of India's Tour of England. Day three at Trent Bridge, and whilst the weather got involved once again, plenty of entertainment for another packed crowd in Nottingham. You're listening to Following On. So if you're listening to the podcast, you no doubt know by now that England's still just about in this contest. They've knocked off 20 runs of the deficit, 25 runs actually. India leading by 95 runs after first innings after they were bowled out for 278. Rahul Pant blazed away for 25. Rahul's given a couple of lives on the way to 84, and Jadeja with 56, and Bumrah really frustrating England towards the end. 33 runs added for the last wicket as he posted his highest test score. Pfeiffer, first one in test cricket for Ollie Robinson. He was excellent, as was Jimmy Anderson again. Sibley and Burns came out and just about got through before the weather ruined all the fun. Plenty to talk about plenty to discuss from a fielding perspective as well, I think, with Steve Harmison. You're listening to Following On.
Story of the day.
So, Harmy, here we are then. 2 days left in the match. The weather playing a part once again. This match might have been over if we'd had three full days, such has been the paucity of top-class batting at times. And maybe as well, if England could catch or affect a run-out. I think they missed five run-outs and they've dropped four chances, something like that. What is this, what is that symptomatic of? You've played in many, many times for England. You must have gone through phases when they caught everything and then phases when they dropped it. What happens out there?
Pressure, John, I think. The pressure, if you look at the people who, the times the catches were dropped and the run-outs were taken, I think it's just pressure. I was fortunate. I had two of the biggest guys in English cricket at the time, from slip point of view when I played. Marcus Juskothic, probably the biggest, the best slip fielder that I've ever played with. And Freddie was at second slip. Between the two of them, they covered a huge lot of ground. And it didn't drop much. So I was quite fortunate that you know, if you did get a nick, they would catch them. And then you chuck Strauss and Collingwood in there. Not a bad four to go with it. So When I look at the England slip coordinate, keeps rotating, different people going in at different times. But you look at the pressure that these guys are under. Sibley dropped. When he's thinking about how he could, everybody's talking about him not being in the side for the next test match. Burns missed the run out, a similar situation to Sibley. You know, Bairstow just come back in. Lawrence missed his run out. And again, people are questioning. Michael Vaughan are questioning, saying, aren't they not good enough? And I think the world was on Joe Root's shoulders, trying to marshal his troops, finding a way of making a breakthrough when the catch went to him. And that, I think, is just pressure. Jimmy Anderson, that was a tough chance, running over his shoulder, having just bowled 20-odd overs. I think he can let off Jimmy for that, even though he'd be kicking himself with the standards he set. So, look, I just think it was the pressure of the situation, of the individuals find themselves mentally, of what happened at that time. And it just shows, if you've got a slip cordon who are safe, secure knowledge of their own space around, nobody diving in front of them, it is worth their weight in gold. Because in a game when you only get 183 runs, you've got to take half chances, not give full, try and take 14, 15 wickets to dismiss the team in the first innings.
Yes. I mean, if you look at this, the scorecard, Jadeja, there was a missed run out when he was on four. By Lawrence, that one you were talking about, he went on to score 56. We know Rahul was dropped yesterday on 52 and earlier on in his innings, I think, actually. Well, of course, he was then dropped again on 78. He went on to make 84. And even Bumrah, you know, he was given a chance. Missed run out on one. He went on to score 28. You know, Jimmy Anson isn't the only player who's going to be kicking himself, is he? Because England will be kicking themselves. They've given up a first innings lead of 95. But, okay, look, you don't take every chance coming your way. That's ridiculous. But on another day, those scores would be level and this game would look very, very different.
Yeah, I think there would be level. I think with England getting 25 tonight, I think there would have been close to being level, if not another 5, 10 more runs. I think India have definitely getting 60, 70 runs more than they should have. And when you look at Jasprit Bumrah has come in, he's played 20 test matches. He's got 43 runs in 20 test matches. He's hit 5 boundaries in his whole career. He hits 3 4s and a 6. So, you know, I rub that salt into the wound of Jimmy Anderson, who's 39-year-old and got 4 for. And seeing catches go down left, right and centre, it hasn't been England's test match so far. The rain's come to their saviour a couple of times. But actually, if it hadn't rained last night, I think England would have took the chance to get somewhere close to parity, because the way Rishi Pant come out and played this morning, I just wonder if there's some alarm bells going around that Indian dressing room thinking, you know what, I'm not sure he can bat at 6 in English conditions. I think we might need another batsman and he might have to bat at number 7. We might need another top order batsman if the top order fails, if it consistently fails. A little bit like the England thought process. We were all expecting Sam Curran to bat 7, Jack Leach to play, England to play 5 bowlers with no Ben Stokes. Well, no Hardik Pandya in the India lineup. I think we might have to a serious consideration only using 3 out-and-out seamers with Jadeja at number 8 and picking another frontline batsman, because I'm not sure Pant, if he's got 9 more innings in him, if he keeps going down the road of, you know, running at things and, you know, you're not sure what he's going to give you, then I think there's going to be a lot of onus on that top order to score runs. And we talked about it yesterday in the following on podcast. They're not in top form either. So there'll be some question marks in India's dressing room as well.
And from a bowling perspective today, Broad was expensive. Curran, slightly unfortunate at times. I think he had 2 really expensive overs, but he could have had a couple of wickets in there. But Robinson, again, there was a really interesting passage of play for me. Robinson is already now being talked about as being one of the first names in England's Ashes 11 against for the first test. And then he came up against Jadeja, who was basically trying to hit him over the hills. He got carted for 2 4s and a 2. He went for 10. And for the first time, a batsman was really putting the pressure back on Robinson. He'd actually bowled a couple of a poor over, and then his line seemed to desert him. He was bowling very wide all of a sudden. He was being cut away to the boundary, and the pressure was back on, because this was a stage where the lead was about 30-odd. Crucial passage of play, and he had the answer. He got rid of Jadeja. And finished it up by taking a 5 for as well. So, you know, he's only bowled 3 times for England, and he's taken 7 wickets in the test at Lord's against New Zealand. He's taken a 5 for here at Trent Bridge. So, he answered another question, I suppose, today.
He did, yeah, and it was well documented what happened to the stuff that's off the field. That's something he's got to live with and put up with for the rest of his days. I think he's going to have that thrown at him. He's got to put it now to one side and concentrate on his cricket. And if we just talk about cricket alone, I think he's been fantastic. I think he's bowled good lines, good lengths, very English style. And they talk about the Australia, that they are looking at Hazelwood and comparing him with Josh Hazlewood. I think Hazlewood's got 6 or 7, maybe more mile an hour on Ollie Robinson. He's probably McGrath's pace at the end of Big Glenn's career than he was at the start. But I think he has answered a lot of questions on temperament, ability, durability from a test match point of view. And I think, yes, I think you're right. I think the close to are putting pressure on the guy to say, you know what, he might be one of the first names on the team sheet or second names on the bowling sheet alongside Jimmy Anderson at this moment in time because he's delivering. Stuart Broad, I thought Stuart was trying a bit too hard. He losing his left side a touch if I'm going to the coaching side of it. I think because he was maybe striving himself, it just seemed as though he was like half a yard behind every time. And when he got to the crease, he was just striving for that little bit. I'm sure when Stuart looks at the footage, and it's hard to change things in the midst of a test match and things is going on. It's hard to say, just calm down. It's hard to say, right, get a hold of your left side. Because you're mentally in the battle. You possibly have a look at it tonight. Have a drink and a meal with his great mate Jimmy Anderson, and I think he'll come back stronger tomorrow. So Robinson was absolutely brilliant, fantastic. Anderson was unbelievable. I thought Curran was slightly unlucky, but I thought at times he looked a bit toothless, and I think England have got to use him better and at better times. Because if you're going to pick Sam Curran, you're going to have to give him the ball when it's swinging. There's no good giving the ball when it's 65, 70 overs old, and you're saying to the young lad, go on, just fill in a few overs for me. Because if you're going to do that, you might as well pick Jack Leach and just say, right, bowl over the wicket and it not go anywhere. Because if it's not swinging, don't give Sam the ball because, yeah, he's 5 foot, 5 foot seven, 5 foot seven, 5 foot eight, 80 mile an hour. He'll be a nice pace to face. Give him, if you're going to use him when the conditions are suiting him. But the problem is within England attack, like we've seen between the 60th and the 70th over, when things weren't happening and it wasn't swinging, they were pretty toothless and things, you know, were just meandering along. So the balance of the side for Lords will have to change, I think. And if you're going to use Sam Curran, you're going to have to give him the chance to use it when it's going to be swinging. Problem with that is you've got Robinson, you've got Broad, and you've got Anderson all want to bowl at that time as well. So big, there's big question marks for the bowling attack from the management team and Joe Root when they dissect what and how they've just bowled their 80-odd overs.
And then when England came out to bat, deficit of 95, then it suddenly got very tense. There was a 25-minute period before tea, and Burns and Sibley had another, probably about the same amount of time, half an hour or so after it. They were beaten. Mohammed Shami bowling over the wicket to the left-handed Burns got one to move just a fraction away. He's not an extravagant mover of the ball, is he? But he does just enough to beat the bat. But Burns didn't hit it, so he's still there. It was pretty tense. Those two would be relieved just to have seen off that nasty little passage of play, or two of them actually.
Yeah, and I would say yes, to a point they were relieved, but at another point I think they'll be disappointed that they've actually come off, because I thought India was just starting to get frustrated. I just sensed that Siraj was starting to get into the face, and he was a little bit of verbals coming around with Dom Sibley. I thought Shami bowled around the wicket and went too straight to Burns, and he got a few away and he clipped a few away. They're gonna play and miss. The techniques, the two opening bats from their techniques will play and miss a lot of balls, and they have done over the course of the last year and a half in their career. You just think they're waiting for one to nick, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. They get the ride, the luck, and get lucky. But I actually thought India were just starting to get frustrated, and another half an hour, 40 minutes without a wicket going. And I think England might have cashed in that last 2 hours of a session, because we've got to get rid of this last session lasting 3.5 hours. It's just not good for cricket. It's not good for spectators. Losing far too much cricket. And I've said it 3 days in a row now. We could have lost 10 overs at the end of today. We could have still been playing at 7:30 at night. But I think if England had got through that initial half an hour passage just before they came off, I think they might have cashed in the last hour and a half. The two openers weren't looking too bad.
Yeah, as I look over my shoulder, it's about 6:30. So play was called off about 20 minutes ago, and it's beautiful here in Nottingham.
It's crazy,
like,
isn't it?
A bit like yesterday.
Moment of the day.
Well, we've discussed most of the moments of the day, but we also made mention of the weather. Forecast for tomorrow is for a little bit more of the same. Is there enough time? Do you think the weather is actually going to get England out of this? A draw is actually starting to look much more likely, isn't it?
No, I still think there's a lot of time. You've got to remember there's, you know, well, we got, well, after Boulder Mall, you've got 98 overs tomorrow. And the same again on day five. That's a lot of overs against two batting lineups who are not in great form.
So you're right. I mean, England were bowled out in 65 overs in the first innings, weren't they?
Absolutely.
And they've got a deficit of 70 still. So do the same thing. You're absolutely right.
If we get the full overs, then or close to full overs, then we've still got a game on. You know, what did England bat? England batted India, 84.5 overs with a tail wagging. England mid-60s. This is still, there's still a huge game on here. Problem is, if we have another day where we lose a session, then does it, if your fourth test match, you're thinking, ooh, we might have a game here because somebody might make the game out of it. They might try and push to make a game out of it. But first test match in the series, they will not want any, you know, they'll not want to lose any blood. They'll just want to make sure that they can, if England can get out of this with a draw, I think Joe would be happier on the M1 down to London on Sunday night, Monday morning, ready for Lords going that way. So I still think there's a result in this. I still think India are huge, huge favourites. But if England can get to a score of around about 170, 180 in front, and that's a massive if with this batting lineup at this moment in time, then you never know. You just never know. Fifth day pitch, the indentations that's on it. Broad has not performed in this game so far. And he's a great, and he will perform if he gets another chance. That there would make the game very, very exciting.
Brilliant stuff. Well, look, just a short following on podcast for you today to reflect as to the few overs that were bowled. But we will be back following day four at Trent Bridge to see whether England could chip away at that lead and possibly get their noses in front of India in this first test match of the Indian summer. Thanks so much for listening to us here on Following On. Don't forget, there's plenty more over on YouTube, Steve Harmison's new YouTube channel, 7 for 12, which recaps the day with a different slant and a few graphics and photos and whatnot. But for us here on Following On, thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.